This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We lift up thy name, which is so precious. Lord, all of us here this morning, we could be never have been created, and you'd still be God. And Lord, you, by your decree, created us, and you, by your wonderful mercy, have saved us, and you, by your providence, have brought us here, and now we, being here, worship you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, you would give us comfort, give us encouragement, so that we can keep serving you, and keep being what we're called to do as your children. Lord in heaven, keep the evil one and his minions far from this place this morning. Let this place and this assembly be set apart and be holy, be sanctified, be filled with the Spirit of God in the presence of Almighty glory. Guide us into your word. You are our help in ages past. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing through the book of Luke, and we've got a number of different things going on in our text right now, but all of them point to the central theme of our message. It's about finding certainty in uncertain times. See, a lot of us are feeling uncertainty right now. We're feeling uncertain about the future. Now, I, echoing others, am not convinced as to what is going on or what is going to happen. I don't know. There's so much evil. It's a great battle between good and evil, between truth and lies, and deceit. And it's a great battle within each and every one of us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and stay faithful. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. You can't really go anywhere else to find help. These past few days, I've been, going to people I look up to and that I follow sometimes in social media here and there, and they're echoing the same thing I'm feeling, you know. Keep praying. God only knows what's going to happen. There's been corruption. We need to keep pressing on. You certainly can't go to, you know, our media resources for finding information. It's all fake. All fake. The exception of maybe one little not well-known one. But anyway, this message was, I switched my schedule around this week so that I would have this past week, so that beginning part of the week dedicated in the office and also helping campaign on Tuesday. And then I was with the Amish at the end of the week. And so this message came out of a time of great uncertainty, but you know what? There's still uncertainty. So what we want to look at this morning, brothers and sisters, is how to find certainty in uncertain times. Because I think I can echo everyone here this morning that we feel like God is asking us to step to the edge of a cliff and turn around and fall backwards. And we don't know how great a drop it is. We don't know whether it's just a 5-foot drop and it's not going to be that bad, or we don't know if it's a 150-foot drop and what's at the bottom. We don't know. We can't see. He's asking us to turn around, walk to the edge of, backwards to the edge of the cliff, and fall backwards. And we feel like, I'm not certain. I don't know how steep it is. I don't know what to expect. But he's asking us to do it. So in our text, we find that God is giving us 4 things, at least, in our text that we can fall back on. Because if you think about it, when the future is uncertain, when you're not sure about something, it's always best to fall back on what you do know is certain. It's best to go back to what you think is, what you know is concrete, okay? When you're unsure about everything going on in your day, when you're unsure about what just happened, when you're unsure about what's going to happen, you need to fall back on the things which you know are certain. You fall back on the Word of God and on God Himself. And so these are things, brothers and sisters, that we're going to look at to fall back on in our text, that we can have surety, we can have a spirit of perseverance and encouragement. And the first thing that we can be certain of, even though what happened is uncertain, what is happening is uncertain, what's going to happen is uncertain, we can fall back on, we can be certain that Christ has entrusted to us His supreme authority. We can be certain that Christ has entrusted to us His supreme authority. Look at verse 1 in chapter 9. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. A number of weeks ago, there was a message preached called Activity Demands Authority. We saw Jesus, okay? He was active. He was doing things. He was communicating doctrine. He was curing diseases. He was casting demons. The threefold ministry of human life. The mind, body, and soul. To the mind, He was communicating doctrine. To the body, He was curing diseases. To the soul, He was casting demons. He was showing His power over the dark world. And we asked, where did this authority come from? Okay, Jesus just steps on the stage. He's doing all these things. We're putting ourselves into the sandals of Palestinian Jews. This guy comes on the stage. He's doing all this. Where does that authority come from? And there were 3 aspects of authority that He had. And those 3 aspects have been entrusted to you as a Christian. Born again of the Holy Spirit, that authority has been given to you. What were those 3 aspects? The first was His sacred position. The second was His supreme power. The third was His steadfast purpose. Think of His sacred position for a minute. Okay, this has been entrusted to us. Look at who Christ is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Yeshua, Messiah. He is the Son of God, and Satan knows that. Satan knows that more than the average churchgoer. And you can be certain that authority, that sacred position has been entrusted to His people. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If you have been born again of the Spirit, if you are a child of God, you've been adopted, and you've been put into the family of God, and you are an heir of all the kingdom and promises that have been given to Jesus Christ, have been given to you, you are an heir of the eternal kingdom of God. That's been entrusted to you. Fall back on that. Fall back on that. Also with the authority of Christ is His power, His supreme power. He speaks and the seas are stilled. He commands and the unclean spirits are exiled. He orders and the sufferers of mankind are healed. And that authority has been entrusted to us. And yet we have been given power from God over the evil one. We have been given power over the sin that so easily besets us. We have been given power over the dark forces. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Has God given us a spirit of fear? No, He has not. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." That is not ours, okay? We don't claim that. We don't take hold of that. That is not of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what He has given us in the verse is He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you can be sure, every single one of you, brothers and sisters, that God has put in your life, in your heart, and your being a spirit of absolute supreme power from His hand. That's been entrusted to you. And a spirit of love. The ability to overcome the darkness with the love of God. And He's given you a spirit of a sound mind. The ability to discern what is true and is false. The ability to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. The ability to know what is right and wrong. Entrusted to you. Okay? Know that. Certain. The third aspect of His supreme authority is His steadfast purpose. His purpose. The purpose of Jesus Christ. Think about it. When He was on earth, He kept the goal ahead. He looked ahead to the cross and moved there knowing that nobody and nothing was going to stop Him from obeying His Heavenly Father. No one. And you can be certain that that purpose has been entrusted to you. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You are sure that you've been given a divine, eternal, everlasting purpose in Christ Jesus to obey your Heavenly Father to the very end. And we'll look here in Luke. Eventually, Jesus is going to teach us what that means when He says that if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow Me. That's your purpose you've been given in Christ Jesus. So you don't know what's going on. You don't know what just happened. You don't know what the future is going to bring. But guess what? Your purpose is to serve Almighty God and to follow Him and to fix your gaze on Christ Jesus until the very end. You can bank on that. You can bank on that. So the first thing in our text we could be certain of is that Christ has entrusted to us His supreme authority. The second thing that we can be certain of is that we must urgently spread the gospel. We must urgently spread the gospel. Verses 2 to 6 in Luke chapter 8. "Then He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said to them, 'Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. Whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them.' So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, in our text, the disciples were given a specific ministry. They were given a specific area to go, and there were certain things that Christ expected from them. Some of them don't apply, okay? For example, don't take any money with you. That was specific for their time. But there is something that is universal for every believer all over the world, that you are to go and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Okay? The ministry of the gospel is twofold. It is to bring everlasting life through the gospel of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it is also to do good as a testimony of that gospel in your life. And so that is a universal call. Whether you live in communist China or whether you live in America, you are called to give the gospel. So you say, "I don't know what's going on in my day and age. I don't know what just happened. There's so much corruption. I don't know what's going to happen in our future. But you know what? I do know I need to spread the gospel." You can be certain about that. If you have any question about your purpose on this earth, you can be certain, I know I am supposed to tell others about Jesus. Every disciple of Jesus Christ is to follow and in his footsteps and preach the gospel to those around them. Because you know what? Every single day is closer to the end. Every single day is closer to the end. And it may be the case that there's not much time left. Now, I'm not bringing any sort of weird prophecy into this message, but I have authority to say that because Jesus says in Revelation, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Okay? And so there's not much time left. And every day is one day closer to the end of the age when God will come to this earth in wrath and do away with the wickedness of all mankind and create a new heavens and a new earth. And we need to go and bring people into that kingdom to shelter them from that wrath before that day comes. And the reason why God is relenting, the reason why God is waiting, the reason why God is holding back is because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is your call. And so we echo the words of Paul who says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some." Even if it's just one. It's worth it. So you can be certain that we must urgently spread the gospel. You must also, thirdly, you can be certain that we will always face opposition. Okay? We got to write this one down. You can be certain that you will always face opposition in seeking to obey God. In verse 7 to 9, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead." If you look into the other accounts in the Gospels, you read of John the Baptist who preached against the wicked ruler of his day and age, and he said, "It's not right that you have your brother's wife." There was an immoral relationship between them, and Herod was afraid of him, but there was this weird plot between the woman of the household to try to get rid of John the Baptist, and so Herod had his head cut off and put on a platter as a birthday gift. And now Jesus is going around, and Herod hears of this guy, and he wonders, people are saying John has risen from the dead, or Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, "John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" So he sought to see him, probably to get rid of him. And so you can be certain that you will always face opposition. Remember, John the Baptist's head was cut off, but Herod didn't win. Herod didn't win. He was under God's judgment. Herod was afraid. His conscience was pricked. He knew that he had done wrong. Now, you think to yourself, okay, I'm uncertain about what's going on, and these things are supposed to give me comfort. I'm not so comforted in being certain that I will always face opposition. Okay, that's not really comforting to me. But it can be, and it ought to be. These are things we can fall back on. And the reason why it can be and ought to be comforting is because it proves that we are children of God. It proves that we are children of God. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and join me as I look at this for a moment here to find out why knowing that you always will face opposition as a child of God seeking to obey Him is comforting, is something that you could fall back on and find comfort in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "For consider Him," that is Jesus Christ, "consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Anybody weary and discouraged in their souls? Consider Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners. "You," verse 4, "have not resisted yet to bloodshed, striving against sin." Okay, Jesus striving against sin, shed His own blood. in the Garden of Gethsemane in sweat, drops of blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Listen now in verse 5. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. What the Bible is saying is that if you are seeking to obey God, to walk with Christ, to be faithful to Him, and God permits these evil things into your life, this opposition to come, He does it because He loves you. And He wants to see you mature. And He wants to see you grow in your faith. Just as a father with their child, they want to see them grow, they want to see them mature, and so they will love them whether they do good or wrong. If they do wrong, they're going to chasten them, discipline them in order to see them do right. And sometimes a father will allow the child to go on their own to test them to see whether they will do the right thing. In verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, for a few days they chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. What God permits into our life is so that we can be in a set apart fellowship with Him through the Holy Spirit. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Doesn't seem joyful, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Look in verse 12 for a minute. Therefore, in light of what we just said, looking back to this truth that God chastens us to grow us out of love for us, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Strengthen yourselves, brothers and sisters. God is at work in your life so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, for without which no one will see the Lord. You can be sure that opposition will come your way. But you know what? If you're suffering for the name of Christ, the Bible says that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope will not disappoint us. Amen. Amen. So you can be certain that Christ has entrusted to us His supreme authority. You can be certain that we must urgently spread the gospel. You can be certain that you will face opposition. And fourthly and lastly, you can be certain that Christ will abundantly provide for us at the proper time. Now normally this passage of Scripture is left aside to be a sermon in and of itself, but we need to glean from this for our topic here of what we can find as being certainty in uncertain times. And what God says to us in this is that He will abundantly provide for us at the proper time. And the apostles in verse 10 of Luke chapter 9, when they had returned, told Him all that they had done. Then He took them and went aside privately to a deserted place belonging to the city Bethsaida. When the multitudes knew it, they followed Him. And He received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, healed those who had need of healing. Now listen, in verse 12. When the day began to wear away. Okay? 5,000 men. So, say there was a woman for every man, that's 10,000. Say that there's 1 to 2 children on the low side. We're looking at 15 to 20,000 people following Jesus Christ. And they haven't eaten anything. And they're hungry. And the day is beginning to wear away. There's not much time left. And they've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there won't be enough time to go into town and get all the food that they need and all the costs it's going to take. And what are we going to do? The day is wearing away. The sun is setting. There's not much time. And at the time, which seemed the most hopeless, Jesus says, sit down. Groups of 50. Bring me the 5 loaves. Bring me the 2 fish. And everyone ate. And everybody was filled. Not only did they eat, but they had an abundance. And not only did they have an abundance so that they were full, there was extra left over. Right at the proper time. Right when they needed it the most. Right when things looked the worst, Christ came and gave them what they needed at the proper time. And so what we're saying, brothers and sisters, is that at the proper time, when Jesus says it is time, He will provide all that you need. Undoubtedly, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. And we will be Christians experiencing this verse 17 feeling. They all ate and were filled. We will experience that. That will be given to us. We have to remember it came when the day began to wear away. It didn't come at lunchtime. It didn't come at supper time. It came when everybody thought that they were going to put their heads on the rock pillows out in the wilderness. They were going to put their head on the rocks with an empty stomach. And go to bed hungry and dream of fish fries. It wasn't a dream. It became reality. You can be certain that Jesus Christ will abundantly provide for us at the proper time. You can be certain that we will always face opposition. You can be certain that we must urgently spread the gospel. And you can be certain that Christ has entrusted to us His supreme authority. Brothers and sisters, God may be asking us to step to the edge of a cliff and to turn around and to fall back. And you don't know how far drop it's going to be. Okay? You don't know right now. But you know what? Jesus is saying, I'm going to catch you. I'm going to catch you. You don't know how far of a drop. It could be a mile long drop of falling through the air, not knowing when that moment will come. But if you know that the Son of God is going to catch you in His arms, does it matter? So what we're saying, brothers and sisters, you don't know. It's uncertain. But know this. Jesus Christ will catch you. And so you can be certain of that. And you can fall into His arms, brothers and sisters. I wish we could keep going in our text. It's so beautiful. Until next week, let's pray. Father God, in some weird, mysterious way, you already took that fall. You already fell back off that cliff. When you died on the cross, Father God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, I was falling off the cliff. Take the fall that we deserve. And you died, but you got up. 3 days later, you got up back on your feet. And now you're calling for each and every one of us to fall back on you. And Lord, I know myself and each and every one of us here are struggling. We want clarity. We want to know what's going on, what will happen. We're struggling with our faith. We're struggling with why do the wicked prosper, as the psalmists say. Lord, we're echoing the words of those godly men in the past who said, why, O God, why do you not intervene? Why do you delay? And you say to us, I will catch you. May that give us comfort. And Lord, may that help us to keep going, keep praying, keep obeying, keep walking forward, looking unto Jesus, your Son. Because we're still here, we're still Christians, we're still called to preach the gospel, to live for you in holiness. Father God, use us even now in the days ahead. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.